Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Cut sheet coming up 7:45. Fight Club at 9:10 because fights equal ratings. Also, our morning mystery movie clip today. The winner will get another pair of tickets to see Joe Conklin coming up next month. We'll have those all week for you. Tony Bruno tomorrow. Sean Farish on Friday. All right, let's get to round number two of the news, and then we're going to continue this conversation on Israel, Iran, the United States, Donald Trump. And also, I want to get into this great MAGA divide where it seems there are plenty of Trump loyalists that are kind of positioning themselves against attacking Iran. And we'll talk about that after the news. Round number two at 7:05. Here is the great Dawn Stensland.
Thank you, Nick Kale. Good morning, Kale and Company News Live. As we are sponsored this hour, we are sponsored in the news by Independence Seaport Museum this Tuesday morning, June the 17th. 63 degrees, cloudy, drizzly, only going up to the mid-70s. Full forecast with Nick in just a moment. But let's take you through it. Locally in the news, we do have a man who's critically injured after he was shot in North Philadelphia. So this is a situation that's under investigation right now. A 36-year-old man critically injured in critical condition in the hospital after a shooting in North Philadelphia. It happened overnight, North 21st Street near West Burke Street. Police say the victim was shot in the stomach. And they found a cell phone and a baseball cap near the scene. Police have already pulled the surveillance cameras and say the video on there shows the victim and a suspect in a fight before the suspect took off running east on Burke Street. So searching for that shooter in that case. Again, no motive, but we'll get to that one. And then we've told you about the fact that we had that deadly home invasion that happened in the Tacony section of Philadelphia. Police there investigating, calling in a translator because the people living in that rental home, row home, don't speak English as their first language. We have that one going on. And then, of course, as well, in the suburbs, we have after a man was arrested in Westchester at that large No Kings rally or near the scene. He was on High Street there. But the story out of that one that's emerging, if you look at the Westchester, if you talk to Westchester residents or some of their social media there, and some of my relatives out there, they said, nobody really out here trusts what the media says. So they all go to certain Westchester social media sites. But they said that somebody reported it. A few people reported it and said, this guy is carrying, somebody saw that he had a weapon and had a lot of ammunition. And so it's the saying, if you see something, say something. That's what happened. Police handled it quickly, swiftly. And so this was perhaps something that could have been horrific, averted. But in this case, now the latest, they've ID'd the 31-year-old suspect taken into custody, Kevin Krebs. He's identified. And this happened in the 100 block of High Street in Westchester Saturday. Well, now the latest is that they carried out a search warrant on this guy's home in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Quiet family homes, single family homes there in the neighborhood. Neighbors expressing their shock as the bomb squad was called in and they discovered at least one pipe bomb discovered in Mr. Krebs' home there in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So these are local headlines that we're covering, but I will say that his brother was apologetic. We heard that audio earlier saying that that his brother needs help and was apologetic, but they said that this man was heavily armed, knives, loaded gun on him, magazines, then the semi-automatic rifle nearby in the vehicle, then the home has the pipe bomb, and also that he had all kinds of weaponry at the home as well. So pepper spray, gloves, masks, all of this paraphernalia, if you will. Was this guy plotting something? It does not look like he had any manifesto or anything written or any plot to carry this out. Yeah. So that's from police.
Steve Keeley from Fox 29 about 16 hours ago tweeted out the picture of the affidavit of probable cause if you want to read that. Funny you say the word manifesto as well. Now they're saying in the Minnesota murders, with the 57-year-old that we talked about a ton yesterday, that there was no manifesto recovered. The initial reports from the national media was that this guy had a manifesto, and now they've walked that back saying there is no manifesto.
Yeah, and so and there are new developments in that Minnesota case, as that Minnesota accused killer is he was in court, so he was processed in court again. I believe there's another court appearance that's scheduled, but he is now, in fact, charged with first-degree murder. We talked about the initial charges were bizarre because they were second-degree murder.
Right.
But, in fact, he's now facing first-degree murder charges.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said yesterday. I was like, how does this not qualify for first-degree considering the nuance and details of premeditation? I mean, it just reeked of premeditation. This guy plotted everything out. You know, he had every I dotted and every T crossed. It was classic first degree.
And so for the Minnesota man, 57-year-old Vance Luther Bolter, he is charged with killing Melissa Hortman, a Minnesota Democrat, and her husband, Mark. And so they're calling it, Democrats in Minnesota, and in fact, I believe Governor Tim Walz called it as well, a, quote, politically motivated assassination, a political assassination. That's what they're calling it in Minnesota after that two-day manhunt over the weekend. They also mentioned that his wife was, they got her in a vehicle. She had been an intern under Governor Walz, and that the wife and her children, I don't know if they're their children or her children, but the wife with children in the car with passports, cash, as she was trying to leave. And so she's not being charged, though. She let them search the car. They interviewed her. Was she afraid of her husband? Did she discover this? A lot of questions about that going on.
Yeah.
So we have all of that in question, certainly this morning. And then as far as the breaking news this morning, and that is with President Trump, what's going on in the Middle East? Sirens blaring. Israel and Iran have been trading new strikes overnight and into the morning, fifth day of conflict, civilians in those flashpoint areas facing these waves of attacks that we've been reporting on now for days. In Iran, the latest number is at least 224 people killed since these hostilities began. And then in Israel, 24 people, 24 people in total killed. We've just a recap for you, if you're just joining us, that President Trump said last night he wants a, quote, real end to Iran's nuclear program, not just a ceasefire between Iran and Israel. Where is Trump right now as he cut short the G7 meetings in the Canadian Rockies? President Trump is this morning in the Situation Room, and he has been putting out some true social posts and social media posts. But this, as the world's leaders watch and wait for what's going to happen. But President Trump says he will be continuing in the White House Situation Room this morning, as opposed to being in Canada where he was scheduled. And he can be then well versed and, you know, get all the latest in the White House. And he noted that he wouldn't have to rely on phones to know what was going on. He wants in-person briefings and regular briefings. And that's what's happening as we speak. This is a breaking news situation. And yesterday the headline was, everybody better evacuate or get out of Tehran, that people need to be safe. But those sirens still going off this morning.
By the way, too, is Scott Jennings still over in Israel? I saw him tweeting. He was like tweeting live play-by-play videos from his patio or his roof, wherever he was. And I believe at least a couple of days ago, the story was that he's kind of stuck over there in Israel. I don't know if that's something that he necessarily signed up for, or that's kind of the risk you take. But I saw that, and he's obviously been so good on CNN. I don't know. I have to check his timeline. I wonder if he's still over there reporting live from all the atrocities. He was literally showing some of the missiles on his phone as they were flying through the sky and then being taken out to some extent by Israel's Iron Dome. Very fascinating video if you want to see that.
On that one, I know that another quote from President Trump said Iran knows, quote, not to touch U.S. troops. The U.S. would, quote, come down so hard if they do anything to our people. What about sending negotiators over to the Middle East like Vice President J.D. Vance or Steve Witkoff, who's been very successful in that regard, Trump had said, I may, but it depends what happens when I get back, meaning to Washington. So that was last night as he was on Air Force One.
Yep.
So all of these late breaking developments, that's why you want to stay tuned as we talk about our Phil's winning, the forecast, and our sponsor, Independence Seaport Museum. Discover Philadelphia's river of history and world of connections at the Independence Seaport Museum on Penn's Landing. Explore our region's waterways through hands-on interactive exhibits and more. Plan your visit at phillyseaport.org. Thank you, Independence Seaport Museum, for sponsoring this hour of news. And we look to the forecast, Nick Cale.
Philly weather, Dawn, 63 degrees. It's going up to 74 today with showers this evening, and then we get a nice stretch of hot weather, but still some rain on Wednesday and Thursday, a high of 86. And then Friday through next Saturday, 8 straight days, temperatures in the 80s, as well as the high 90s, sun and some dry weather. Philly weather brought to you by MTRule.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRUHL.com. All right, a couple of things here. So as far as this ongoing conflict goes, Trump said he sees this massive bunker busters that are needed to destroy Iran's underground enrichment facility. Forgive me on this pronunciation, at Fordow, F-O-R-D-O-W, which the U.S. and Israel does not, as a key point of leverage to get Iran to cut a deal. That, according to a senior U.S. official, and to what Dawn was reporting earlier, the White House is discussing with Iran the possibility of a meeting this week between U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff and Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi. Totally probably butchered that one, but that's okay. That's according to four sources that have been briefed on the issue. But I want to get to this issue to wrap up this conversation until we round back to it in the cut sheet. This great MAGA divide. I've seen so many people fighting over Israel, Iran, what America's involvement should be. Sean Farish, even our girl Esty was in. You know, all these observations I saw last night on X. And then I come across Marjorie Taylor Greene. And Marjorie Taylor Greene says the following in regards to the little riff between Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump. Marjorie Taylor Greene tweets this: Tucker Carlson is one of my favorite people. He fiercely loves his wife, children, and our country. Since being fired by the neocon network Fox News, he has more popularity and viewers than ever before. He unapologetically believes the same things I do, that if we don't fight for our own country and our own people, then we will no longer have a country for our children and our grandchildren. And foreign wars slash intervention slash regime change put America last, kill innocent people, and are making us broke, and will ultimately lead to our destruction. That's not kooky, by the way. Trump said that Tucker Carlson is a little kooky. That's what millions of Americans voted for. It's what we believe is America first. So I'm a little confused by this. In some regards, she seems like she's coming off, not only obviously in defense of Tucker Carlson, but breaking free or away from Trump. And if you've followed Marjorie Taylor Greene over the years, whether it's on social media, on television, with the way she votes, the attention seeking, she is no doubt about it, a Trump loyalist. But this is now two instances where I get the sense, and I'm trying to read between the lines here, this one may be a little bit more difficult and different than the last time, but the last time was the first time. And the first time, you know what the first time was? When she said, I did not read the bill, right? And I blew my gasket on her for not reading it, because she said, had I have read it, I would have not signed off on it with a lot of the things that Trump wants in the bill. Now, for a second time, it seems like Marjorie Taylor Greene is going opposite of Trump, defending Tucker Carlson. But then she kind of contradicts herself in the end here, where she says she's anti-war, which is what Trump is. So I guess that brings up the question that we need to ask. Is this an act of war from the United States? Because Trump, and I've got this from, this is Charlie Kirk, was on with Jesse Waters. And I thought that this paragraph is important to reiterate here. And Charlie Kirk tells Jesse Waters in regards to Trump and war, quote, and when he announced for the presidency 10 years ago to this day, which, by the way, yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of coming down the escalator a whole bit. He remade the Republican Party on foreign policy. He said no more permanent wars in the Middle East. He criticized the Bush-Cheney philosophy of endless quagmires, albeit, though, he is not an isolationist. He is willing to use violent and precise force against our enemies, like taking out Soleimani or dropping the Moab if and when necessary. He knows what his base does not want, and his base does not want another Iraq war. He also does not want Libya. He also does not want a civil war or bedlam where the United States is left carrying the bag. So I honestly think we should ask the question, what actually do you constitute an act of war? Is it boots on the ground? Is it deploying soldiers? Is it just what he's doing here with missile strikes from afar? And where do people stand? Because like I said earlier this morning, apparently there's this woke right now, and there's also this rift between some of the most ardent MAGA supporters for Trump, where people are drawing a line and they're not necessarily in agreement with Trump as far as carrying out these acts or being pulled in by Bibi Netanyahu. So, Dawn, do you constitute this an act of war? Do you think this goes against Trump's anti-war peace and prosperity philosophy? Because it seems like there's a lot of people taking sides here within the, and I'm not talking just the Republican Party, not the old war hawks. I'm talking about ardent MAGA supporters. Yeah, people that will crawl over broken glass for this guy. Is there a rift here?
Well, I think that's so what's all the headlines this morning that you're referring to with MTG, with Marjorie Taylor Greene, is that she has found a way, interestingly, to unite maybe the far right and the far left with what she's saying. But I think they're all wrong. I think they're all misinterpreting Trump, because I think what Trump is saying here is don't look at the short term. Don't look at the ceasefire. So what he's saying here is let's get the deal done so that this is something that's permanent, so we don't have to go back to this. That's why my perception is he wants to move beyond this. And that's why Fordo, which you mentioned a moment ago, Nick Hale, is critical. So when was that completed? It was completed in about 2009. This is a heavily fortified area in the mountains that's not so far from, maybe it's 100 miles or maybe an hour outside Tehran.
Yep.
In the mountains, about 300 feet below ground. The critical piece of this is that even though Israel, I mean, they're heavily armed, but they need our munitions, and that's why everybody's talking about these bunker busters. They need our capabilities to have a remote-type control detonated bunker buster that can go down. Maybe even it's like a nuclear warhead or whatever, but that it goes way down beneath that mountain and takes out that command center that all of these terrorists have been using.
Is this one that's 50 yards deep?
It's 300 feet down.
300 feet.
This is a major command center that.
So that's 100 yards. Okay.
Right? And so this, I think, is what everybody's referring to, that everybody's going to know in the area, even if we go, hey, that was Israel taking them out. If that gets blown out of the sky to smithereens and kills a ton of people way down deep, 300 plus feet below in those mountains, everybody's going to know that we in the USA helped, our military gave them our capabilities to get her done.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the delicate negotiation that they have to deal with.
855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. The cut sheet in just over 20 minutes as we continue on Kale and Company. And I have to give a big shout out, because I'm going to tell you about the bike ride in a moment. We just received a $500 donation.
What?
Courtesy of one of our great tweeters, Mike Gisondi. If I butchered that last name, I apologize. Gisondi, Mike Gisondi.
Thank you, Mike.
Just threw in a five spot.
Woo!
We are now up to just under $4,000, right, which is 26% of our 15K goal.
I need somebody right now listening at 724 to match that. Can somebody match that right now, whether it's a business, whether it's a corporation, or even do $1 more, 501?
Well, I hear 502.
You know what I mean? So if you can do that, please, please, please donate. All the money goes to the families behind the Badge Children's Foundation. We really need to step up this the donations here because we really lack. We're great with bike riders. We have a ton of riders. We just need more donations. Please don't make us look bad.
That's right. I'll be partaking in a 20-mile ride this afternoon around 2:30. I'm going to go home, get the nap, and then get on the bike. Dave Madden and I are going to start cranking it out today, because the 38th annual Bend to the Shore Bike Tour is fast approaching. It's Sunday, July 20th, and you have plenty of options. You can ride 65 miles, 30 miles, or just 10 miles, the stretch run on the route from Philly to Atlantic City. And of course, you can be involved with a family-friendly celebration. It's right at the Showboat Hotel immediately after the ride. Register to ride with us, Team 1210. You can join today, you can ride, you can donate. Visit bendtoshore.org. Use the promo code NICK1210. When you do that, they will take $25 off of the registration fee. That's Ben, the number two, shore.org, promo code NICK1210. And this all is for Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation, a 501(c)(3), where they provide immediate financial relief to families of fallen or critically injured first responders and connect cops and kids through non-enforcement positive action.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company live on a Tuesday morning. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free app. The Odyssey app, that is. Watch the show live on YouTube. You know, if you've been listening to this show for the last 34 months, you know, we talk about a variety of stories, try to keep it light, try to keep it moving, but the big story of the day is obviously what's going on with Israel, Iran, the United States, Donald Trump, and what he will or won't do. And we've been on that wall-to-wall the entire show. There are some other stories that we will get to in the cut sheet, some funny clips as well. I also had some stuff here that I wanted to get into about defending Bobby Kennedy against Big Pharma in light of the call we had yesterday from one of the pediatricians. I've got this story on the demise of CNN, how 2026 could be their last year as we know it. But right now, a lot developing, as Dawn would say, and breaking on this front with Israel in the Middle East. Nearly a million people in Tel Aviv have now been rushed into bomb shelters. A U.S. Navy aircraft carrier has rushed to the Middle East as the conflict heats up. And we've got a couple of other details to get to as well. Your calls certainly welcomed and encouraged. 855-839-1210. Marjorie has done that all the way from Palm Coast, Florida. Hello, Marjorie.
Good morning. How are you?
We are well.
I remember in the 70s when the Ayatollah got those 55 hostages, and poor President Carter, he was so frustrated. He could not get this man to see reason. And Jimmy Carter's mother, Miss Lily, said she wanted to get a hitman for the Ayatollah. That's how frustrated she was to see her son being so stressed. It's time to bring this to an end. We don't want to go through this again. Get it over with. It's either eggs or young ones. You can't. There's no nice way to tell someone to stop it. Either they listen or you just make them listen.
Marjorie, let me ask you this, though, just playing devil's advocate. Do you really think taking out the Ayatollahs, and it's the same thing when you go over into the Middle East, whether it's Afghanistan, Pakistan, whether it's, you know, Lebanon, Syria, do you really think wiping out whatever you intend to wipe out will end it once and for all? Because I would argue there's going to be the next wave, the next regime. I mean, this has been going on since biblical times, since the beginning of time. I don't know that there's an end to this, because at least with Iraq, Saddam Hussein was not religiously motivated. This regime is different. And with who they fund and how much they fund and how much they have their handprints all over everything radicalized, radical Islamic jihadist terrorism, I don't know that this ever stops. So it's either we keep fighting it or we no longer fight it. I don't think you can end it. And I would also ask, and I don't know this answer, Marjorie, maybe you do, maybe somebody in our audience does. What about other nations in Asia? What about other nations in Europe? Why is it that the United States, and this is for all the people that were saying, I'm bought and paid for by the Jews. Where are all these other countries that support Israel? I mean, I know they're our ally, but also at what point do we say enough is enough with the never-ending funding of supporting Israel? I'm in favor of supporting Israel. They're the good guys. They're not the bad guys. But, I mean, are we just going to do this for the rest of time?
I agree with you. I understand what you're saying because I have a grandson that I don't want him to go to war. Boy's 21 years old.
Yep.
But nonetheless, here we go. Like I said, we went through this with them in the 70s. I lived through that. And here it seems like we're back here again.
Yeah,
is what it is. We're here again.
As Greg said, history has a tendency of repeating itself. I just wanted to throw out this little nugget as well. And I'm a little surprised by this. Remember we talked leading up to the election how Trump would do with certain demographics. So there's a couple of numbers here, and they're a little bit conflicting, but we'll ballpark it and estimate it. Are you surprised? Now, according to the Associated Press, Donald Trump received 32% of the Jewish vote this past fall. It was the highest since H.W. Bush going back to 1988 for a Republican. NBC says it was between 22 and 26%. So somewhere roughly between a quarter to a third of the Jewish vote. Do you think that'll be higher this time around in 2026 midterms or certainly 2028? Because Trump has made it adamantly clear that he is a pro-Israeli president.
No.
He talks about the Abraham Accords.
No.
You're not surprised that it's as low? Not that it's low. I mean, I don't want to take away from a, you know, almost a 40-year high. 32%, if that number from the AP is correct, is pretty good. But I'm surprised it's not a little closer to 50%.
Yeah, no, it's never, you know, like a lot of that has been overblown by the media. You know, the numbers are lying, Dawn?
No, what I'm saying is this time around, there were so many people who I know who have never voted for a Democrat at the top of the ticket who said, I am Jewish and I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Trump because I know that Trump is going to back back Israel 100%. But number two, yep. I have kids in college or heading to college. And this whole situation where you're allowed to threaten and bully Jewish kids on campus because they're Jewish is not acceptable. And so there's no question in my mind that this last November that was happening. So can Republicans hold that and sustain that? I suppose that depending on what happens to, you know, within this week, if they can take out, and like I say, I think that this is all about taking out, having the moment, the opportunity to take out for good or really set them back decades, to take out Iran's capability of possessing the nuclear capability to take them out with these so-called bunker busters that I believe would be U.S. American technology, then I think that that's what he's talking about in the Situation Room right now as we're on the air. I think that's what's going on. I think that when Trump said we got to do this, it has to be permanent. That's what he's looking at. That's the conversation. Israel is saying, look, we took out, you know, this and this leader. We took out the top people, not Khamenei, but we have this opportunity to take out this basically a fortress that is in the mountains that was built back in the day in 2009. Let's take this out, and you've basically knocked their feet out from underneath them. You've got them.
Two other things to point out.
Okay. Why? Can I just say one
thing?
Yeah,
yeah. Good, jump in
about that. So we need to help them. We need to help the IDF and Israel do this.
Can they
do it on their own?
No, I'm looking at all these different experts.
So then our fingerprints
say,
are going to be all over this. Mm-hmm.
They're specifically. I'll name it. It's America's. It's a 15-ton bunker buster bomb. It's the GBU 57AB Massive Ordnance Penetrator.
Ooh.
And you can so it's got to go down there. So it has the capability of going way down deep where you want it to go. And then you detonate it and it just, and because this is a fortress. So this,
so it needs to be planted. It can't be dropped, is what you're saying.
That's correct. And okay. And so, but not by, in other words, it can be planted remotely, Nick.
Oh.
It's a high-tech device that's called the GBU-57AB Massive Ordnance Penetrator.
I love good penetration, by the way.
It's an excellent penetrator. And that's what they're saying, that it's only America has this particular massive ordnance penetrator capability to take out the nuclear site, the fortress,
in
the mountains.
Jimmy Kelly, can you clip Dawn saying excellent penetrator?
Put it on the board. We're due for a page six.
Who you going to call? Bunker Buster.
So then Dawn Stensland is on record at 7:39 saying she wants us to be involved in this.
Well, but that's why I asked the question, what do you constitute involvement in
war?
That's involvement.
That's certainly involvement.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Involvement.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I think if that's I think that's what they're looking at right now.
Nikki Haley and Lindsey Graham are salivating.
But
right now.
Yeah, they are. They're like, I like good penetration. Uh-huh. Says, I can't do it.
We need
Graham.
To go all in.
Yeah. But so I think that's their conversation right now. But I think that Trump would only do that if he had. So here's the caveat. If his buddies, who he just was there a month ago, if they give the thumbs up and he feels like he has the support of the region. But if he is going it alone, I don't think he does it. Mm. I don't think he risks pissing off all of those neighboring, the Saudi prince and all of them.
Yeah.
I think that Trump is not going to go there. But if he, and that's why he wants in person at the White House, and he wants direct conversations. He probably is getting the pulse of all of those buddies who gave him that royal welcome. It was very warm and fuzzy. So are they saying yes or no? I think that he's weighing that right now.
I will say this, that Trump has been consistent with the fact in the last 10 years that he does not want Iran to have nuclear capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
He said that. I'm not saying that he's inconsistent in anything that he's saying.
Nope.
All I'm saying is that this is... I don't think a new war in the Middle East. Remember, Dawn, peace in the Middle East? Remember
mm-hmm.
that 6 months ago when you were all about, we need peace in the Middle mm-hmm. East, and now you're like, hey, let's drop bunker-busting bombs.
I'm not saying that. I'm actually not saying that, but let me just give you a good example.
Okay.
Okay, like, you know how we can bust each other's chops? Like, my brother John and I, we can bust each other's chops. We, the three of us, can bust each other's. But none of yous better bust my brother's chops, right? So that's how we are.
Yes.
That I will give you guys such a hard time. I'll give him my family such a hard time. My husband, oh, my poor husband. But oh, poor Lair Bear. But anybody else outside says it. So I think that's basically my analogy for the Middle East. So in other words, even though I believe that the Saudis and Qataris and the Emirates, they're sick and tired of Iran and all of their, seriously, mm-hmm. Funding and training terror in the world, they're sick of it. But it's just like that old saying of they don't want, especially the USA, coming from the outside and wiping out Iran and especially a religious leader.
Yeah.
And so that's why this is such a delicate situation. And so I think that for Trump, I mean, how do they manage this where it seems like there's wide support for doing this and just taking out that huge fortress in the mountains there.
That's why I wanted to have this conversation this morning. A nice long hour and a half deep dive. Donald Trump, his last battle. We've got people on all sorts of political spectrums in disagreement. By the way, speaking of Lair Bear, how are the eyes? Has he recovered from Salsa Splash 25?
He has finally recovered. Finally. Man, that was weird.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Salsa Splash. All right, Kale and Company, the cut sheet is coming up next. But first, a word from our friends at Piazza Honda, where it's a very exciting time for our friends at the Piazza Auto Group and their five Honda dealerships, because Honda has won more 2025 Kelley Blue Book Consumer Choice Awards than any other brand, including the best overall brand, the most trusted brand, and the best value brand. Whether you're eyeing the Accord, the CRV, the Pilot, a third row SUV, you're choosing a vehicle that is backed by real drivers just like yourself and yours truly. Come experience the award-winning excellence at Piazza Honda. Five locations, that's right, count them five, Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield. Shop online anytime at PiazzaHonda.com and check out today's special offers.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
It's a Tuesday morning. Nick, Dawn, Greg, Phil, Jimmy. Fight Club, 9:10 this morning. Stay tuned for that. Also, your chance to scoop up another pair of tickets to see Joe Conklin next month. We'll give you the specifics, the date, the time, the location, when we get to Jimmy Kelly's movie clip. There we go. Let's talk it right up to the post, like I'm down the hallway on a music station. Without further ado, let's find out what Greg Stocker has lined up for a Tuesday cut sheet. And they say I'm musically challenged.
What's on the cut sheet on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Amazon. If you love deals, you'll love this. Prime Day is lasting 4 days this year. That's 4 days of unbelievable deals in every category you can think of. So you can save big on everything you're into. Shop Prime Day July 8th through the 11th. Shop Prime Day. This copy needs to be written better. To all you salespeople out there. There's an apostrophe there.
Oh, look at this.
Shop Prime Day, July 8th through the 11th. Okay, so Shop Prime Day on July 8th through the 11th. But there needs to be an apostrophe because I'm a monkey and I just read what's in front of me.
So okay? July 8th through the 11th, I'm going to have to distract my wife for 4 days. Or else we're going to have a Kale Financial Summit meeting.
Uh-oh.
Great. I'm going to have to leave the G7 early as well.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. You said earlier about this rift in the MAG movement that seems to be between Madge and Tucker and Trump and that crew. So Trump put on Truth Social about kooky Tucker Carlson.
Mm.
He also said this when asked about what Tucker Carlson said about how this could be officially the end of his presidency or something?
This could define whether it's a success or a failure, which I disagree with.
This is what Trump said about Tucker.
What is your response to Tucker Carlson criticizing you, saying that you're complicit in the war?
I don't know what Tucker Carlson is saying. Let him go get a television network and say it so that people listen.
And quickly, are you spoken to
Oh, he just said, Tucker, you're not relevant Uh-oh. Because you do your show on X now, homie.
Rut-row.
Oh. But I've also heard people saying that Tucker has got more views than ever, and he's reaching more people than he ever did on Fox News.
He probably is.
Is he? I don't know. Those views are a little...
You can't believe the Twitter views. They're like...
Right. Bob scrolls by and never clicks on it, and it counts as a view. A little misleading. But I go back to what I said in the big take when I played the clip of Tucker on Bannon's War Room podcast. I do not believe that this is, quote... Now, you can argue it's Trump's last battle, for sure. When we talk about, if you were to sit there and rank, what are the five biggest issues Donald Trump is facing as he inherits this mess? The border, the economy, law and order, global wars, energy, whatever you want to rank them, right? Yes, this is, I think, his last battle because he's done great on the border and we've seen solid progress economically. But to sit here and say this, it doesn't matter who the president is. This will never permanently go away. You'll have ups and downs. You'll have peaks and valleys. You'll have periods of peace, 6 years, 4 years, a year and a half. And then somebody gets out of line, breaks an agreement, ceasefire over. But to argue that this is going to define Trump's presidency a second time around, Tucker Carlson's way off base on that. You can't be an American first president and be defined by what happens on another country's turf. That's the way I view it.
Well, I think, I think that what Tucker Carlson may be referring to is that once you get into something like this, it consumes the presidency. It robs all the other headlines. Maybe that's what he's saying.
Yeah, it's 100% what he's saying.
Well, let's ask this, though. Can you chew gum and walk? Can Trump still focus on this while not forgetting about his America first?
His point, which was a good one, was that under the Bush administration, they had these big plans of, doing this to Social Security, that, and the other. All of it was hijacked because of Iraq. Everything was hijacked because of that. So they got effectively, according to Tucker Carlson, nothing done because everything revolved around what was happening.
Well, we can't. Well, we're going to blame Iraq for this. Iraq didn't have WMDs. Now, let's face it. Trump. Bush used Iraq in 2003. He used 9/11 as a reason to go into Iraq, start that war, take out Saddam. Because think about the timeline. September 11th, 2001, we get attacked. Then within, was it days or weeks before Christmas of 2001, we go to war in Afghanistan, Pakistan, the Taliban. Next thing you know, lining up Saddam Hussein. They find him in that little rat hole in Tikrit. They end up hanging him, the whole bit. You can't sit here and say Iraq didn't have WMDs and we were lied to, and then say Iraq brought us into this war. No, Bush brought us into this war. Right?
Yes.
All right, I'm just making sure we're clear on that. And by the way, I was actually surprised. When I started this job, I'm surprised to see how many Trump Republicans despise the Bushes. I feel great knowing that.
Well, it's been a wild ride on this radio station because we went from Bush cheerleaders, Mitt Romney cheerleaders, John McCain cheerleaders to despising all of them.
Okay.
It's been a wild ride here in the last 20 years on WPHT.
Greg Stocker was there, big talker introed George W. in Bucks County.
By the way, I'm not putting any other hosts down, but I've been the most consistent on this radio station for 20 years. I will say that because I was the only one on this radio station calling out the Bush administration at that time for the weapons of mass destruction, and I was criticized. Everybody was telling me that, oh, you're un American. You don't support the troops. You don't love the troops.
But I'm also not just talking about the new Republicans that became Republicans because of Trump. I'm surprised to see how many people that were registered Republicans and voted every election, including for the Bushes, that said they don't like the Bushes. I'm fascinated by that.
So here's what I'm looking at while we're talking. Video of the stealth. It takes a stealth bomber to drop this penetrative bunker bomber.
Dawn's been captured here by the penetration.
I know. I'm watching deep penetration. And it's amazing. So the stealth bomber drops this. It's a B-2 Spirit stealth bomber. It drops this. It's a huge bomb. So it's so huge that because of its large size and weight that the aircraft can only carry two of these weapons in its bomb bay compartments. And then because of the thrusters that are needed to, you know, do this with the precision guidance system, and this thing goes down and it can go like a mile down deep below into that mountain underground and through concrete, through these, you know, an underground command center and just blow it up.
It's amazing.
And it's, they say it feels like a mini earthquake.
Yeah.
A mini earthquake as it goes hundreds of feet below the surface, and just it's detonated remotely.
Wow.
And that it's incredible.
So a mile deep, 5,280 feet in a mile. That's 1,700 yards, roughly.
17 bajillion miles. Thank you very much.
Wow.
All right. Trump also said a deal will be signed, and Iran would be foolish not to sign one. This is cut 11.
May I ask you a question, please? G7 leaders are calling for de-escalation in Israel and Iran, but you are the key to unlocking that.
That's right. And here I am.
And here you are.
Yeah.
So can I ask you, sir, have you spoken to Prime Minister Netanyahu? When might you speak to him?
I've spoken to everybody.
What will you say?
Israel is doing very well, as you probably noticed, and I gave Iran 60 days. And they said, no, and the 61st, you saw what happened. Day 61. So I'm in constant touch. And as I've been saying, I think a deal will be signed or something will happen, but a deal will
something
be signed. And I think Iran is foolish not to sign one.
I mean, we played you some of the clips in the Big Take, including their state media operation being hit live on the air. Anchor had to flee the desk.
Can we play that again?
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought things were bad here when I, you know, accidentally tossed a banana in the garbage can or something like that.
صدای متجاوز به خاک وطن. صدای متجاوز به صدای حق و حقیقت.
This scares me.
Yeah. Get ready to cover your ears in about 5 seconds.
If I... فضای غبار آلوده استادیوم
It almost looks fake.
It does. It
almost looks like a television production.
Somebody pointed that out on X, but it's real.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine that happening while Stalker's on the air?
Oh, I would love it. I would love it.
You would just, you'd be,
holy crap! I would love it. This is Netanyahu on the potential assassination of Iran's supreme leader. Cut five. This is with him, I believe. He was on with John Carl yesterday with ABC News. Roll this.
But U.S. officials tell us that the president flatly rejected a plan, an opportunity that the Israelis had to take out the supreme leader. Do you understand his concern? My understanding is his concern is that this would escalate the conflict beyond where it is already.
It's not going to escalate the conflict. It's going to end the conflict. We've had half a century of conflict spread by this regime that terrorizes everyone in the Middle East, has bombed the Aramco oil fields in Saudi Arabia, is spreading terrorism and subversion and sabotage everywhere. That's the forever war is what Iran wants. And they're bringing us to the brink of nuclear war. In fact, what Israel is doing is preventing this, bringing an end to this aggression. And we can only do so by standing up to the forces of evil. Look, democracies have had to learn this lesson. You know, they faced a tyrannical regime, a radical, fanatic regime. For 40 years, I've been saying, actually 3 years after the establishment of this radical Islamist Ayatollah regime in Tehran, I said that the greatest danger, not only to the survival of my country, but to the peace of the world, is Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons. And they are on the brink of achieving that. So imagine what they're doing now without nuclear weapons, chanting death to America without nuclear weapons. Imagine what will happen if they had nuclear weapons and the ICBMs, the intercontinental ballistic missiles, to deliver it to every place on Earth. We're preventing the most terrific war imaginable, and we're bringing peace to the Middle East. And I believe that after our action, we're going to be able to bring the Middle East to new heights that nobody even imagined. You know, make the Middle East great again. Make it truly great.
No, stop.
Expand the peace
really
with the Abraham Accords.
Man.
Expand them beyond our belief and imagination.
Let's get out of BB there. One thing I wanted to say, this is the forever war is the war on terror. These people are not going to stop. If 9/11 was like the official launching point, 25 years later, 24 years later, whatever the math is, it's not going to stop. It's not going to change. We're not going to prevent radical Islamic jihadist extremism. And my concern is if we use that thing that Dawn's talking about, we'll call it the deep penetrator. If we use the deep
penetrator. Excuse me, it's the GBU 57AB, massive ordnance. Penetrator.
Does that come in an EV model? If we use that, I'm worried about what's going to happen here in the United States with all of the illegals in this country from the Middle East or even the radicalized extremists that are legal citizens here in the United States. Because if we utilize that thing, then we need to be on high alert within our own country for retaliation and terrorism attacks in this country. And it makes you wonder if you say to Bibi Netanyahu, let's just say Trump said this. What do you need from me so that we never have to be involved in this again and you can go forward fighting this battle on your own? Is it weaponry? If so, we'll sell it to you. I think the last thing that Trump wants to resort to is sending American soldiers back over there.
No, right? He's not doing.
And he shouldn't. I think we all agree on that front. He should not do that, correct? I vote no to that.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that. Here's the problem, though, is that if we're involved in a regime change, which is what Netanyahu is trying to do, then we along with Israel own the problem of 90 million Iranians, you know, without a leader.
But shouldn't the Iranian people want a regime change more than anybody? Those that don't subscribe to this?
No.
The oppressed people in that country, you don't think they do?
I don't. No.
The women that have to wear scarves across their face all the time?
Dawn brought it up earlier, and she's 100% right. He's not just like the president. Like, he's a religious figure there.
Right.
Like, this is, it would be.
Is he like a pope?
It would be an act of war.
Yeah.
An act of war if we are, I mean, it's already an act of war because Israel attacked them. But it would be a grave act of war if we, along with Israel, did a regime change there. Mm-hmm. You break it, you buy it. That's what's going to happen. Exile Kraken, you and I are on the same page. He's like, have I traveled back in time to 2002? That's what I'm feeling like.
That's fair.
But yeah. By the way, this August will be 20 years since I started on morning radio in Philadelphia.
That's amazing.
20 years this August.
Where did your life go?
I don't know. I still look fantastic, by the way. Thank you very much.
You do.
Thank
you. And that hair.
Thank you.
Let's take a call.
855-839-1210.
My point was that this was literally what we were debating in 2005. Literally what we were debating in 2005. And now here we are 20 years later.
Everything goes full circle,
and
right?
It's full circle again.
Okay, guys. This is what I'm looking at. You know how I talked about the GBU 57AB Massive Ordnance Penetrator?
Yeah, baby.
Okay, the precision-guided 30,000-pound bunker buster bomb that would be needed to take out the Iran's fortress and there would wipe out their, finally, would be the final straw to wipe out their capability for any nuclear capability. Where is that launched from? Well, the B-2 Spirit stealth bomber, which is tasked with that long-range penetrating strikes, based in Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. So then I'm searching, what's going on with Whiteman? Whiteman Air Force Base is adding all these security measures in and around their Air Force Base as we speak. Right now. It's the only place in the U.S. where what I'm talking about can take off and then go over there. So I'm just saying.
Okay.
That's what I'm predicting. That's what they're talking about. That's when Trump says, or something else, this is the something else.
Kenny on the YouTube chat says, and what's your solution, Greg? My solution is that let Israel fight themselves.
Yeah, and by the way, I think it's fair to say.
That's my solution.
You can be pro-Israel on the side of, which side are you taking? Are you on the side of the radical jihadists or the Jews? You can support Israel and also say enough is enough with America's involvement.
Yep.
Two things can be true at once.
100%.
I know that's not a sexy thing to do in talk radio and in the social media world of hot takes and clicks and retweets.
No, yeah.
But that's certainly still viable.
I know. Nobody wants to nuance. Everybody just, we need to go over and bomb them and blow everything up. Okay.
Right. It's either go to war or totally bail out, right?
Remember the Moab in the first Trump administration and how he talked about the military strike, the mother of all bombs, and it killed those 36 ISIS and the militants and destroyed the base, and boom, you never heard boo from them again. I'm sure that in the back of his mind is that what happened in that previous administration, how it just took care of everything. So what I think they're debating right now, what I would imagine is the option of this, that it's a very, so it's lower cost. And as far as cost of lives, because it's from a stealth bomber, right? And this specialty penetrative huge bomb, the bunker buster with all this technological capability and power. And it's the only one that we believe in the world that can do this. And then they take out their capabilities. And so it's a lower risk situation and it's efficient. And boom, one strike, it's done. They're weakened. That's what I think they're debating. That's just in my mind. That's what's going on.
Let me just say this at 8:05 a.m. just for all the, you know, backbenchers there. I do not believe that we are going to go to war with Iran.
Nope. There's no need to.
Let me just say that. I do not believe the United States will be involved in a war with Iran.
Nope.
That being said, I don't like the slow walking this. I don't like all of this. I don't like, and everybody on the YouTube chat, you're comparing this to Iraq and it's not the same thing. Yes, I know it's not the same thing. I'm saying the messaging is the same thing. That's it.
Yeah. Well, Hegseth last night, as well as others within the White House administration, said we're not at war, we're not going to war, we're enhancing or increasing or maintaining our defensive posture. Well, that's actually a lie, because you're not maintaining your defensive posture. If the United States was involved in airstrikes last night, well, it's no longer a defensive posture, right?
Agreed.
Okay. Go ahead.
If you have the opportunity, and in Trump's mind, that's what I'm sure he's talking to his generals who he trusts. Because remember, he fired a bunch of people or they retired, whatever. So he has trusted people around him. These are, I imagine, the kinds of questions that he's asking. All right, So you drop this massive ordnance penetrator, and it's low risk because it's you're looking at a B-2 Spirit stealth bomber that would be deployed from Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. And so you're high above, and it has this ability, low observable characteristics, allow it to penetrate even sophisticated enemy defenses, and they wipe out Iran's Fordow nuclear site, which is a fortress in the mountains. Now, when they take that out, and this is something that has been like a thorn in their side since 2009, they take it out, now you're done. Now this is a long-term solution that, and my question is this a relief to the neighbors, the Saudis, Qataris, to the all the Emirates, the Arab Emirates? Are they saying, yes, do this? And how does that go down? What does that look like? In my opinion, it's low risk, minimal cost, and it's over.
855-839-1210. Frank is in Burlington, New Jersey. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, guys. I couldn't have said it better than Dawn just said it. Nick, you're questioning, well, we're going to be in this forever. No. If you put their nuclear program back into the Stone Age, now at least Israel's safer about another 20 years. And we know what Iran will do if they get the bomb. Let's be honest. It's like Israel would cease to exist as a country. And Greg, when you were questioning, oh, well, the intelligence just doesn't go with that. We're talking about the existence of a nation. You got to think a little bit deeper than superficial. It's like, even if they were wrong about it, at least you would set them back another 25, 35 years. And I feel like Dawn's the only one that gets it on the show.
Well, Frank, hold on a second. You're saying think deeper. You're only thinking about nuclear capabilities. So I'm going to use your words. You think deeper. This doesn't just end with their nuclear capabilities. They still fund terrorism on every continent on the planet, from Hezbollah to Hamas to the Houthis to a little boat attacks out in the sea, to people driving cars with explosives. This is not just about a nuclear bomb. This is about their end goal, which is the eradication of Jews and those of you in the West, which includes Frank and Burlington.
But Nick, as it is, wouldn't you want to take out the one thing that they could do in the future that would eliminate the Jews as a whole? That is thinking deeper. That is the primary threat to Israel at this point. Period. And to give them or sell them the bomber and the bomb to do it, I don't think that's a very big deal. Let them do the bombing. We don't have to get involved. There's no, of course, the ideology of the Islamists doesn't change over the next 40 years. We all know that.
Okay.
But at least you got to eliminate the immediate threat of nuclear, literally nuclear, not just proliferation, but as far as eliminating Israel as a country.
And for the record,
I don't see how that's so hard to understand.
No, it's not. But for the record, your comment says we need to give Israel these weapons too, and I can't see the rest of my screen. I'm on board with that with you, Frank. I agree with you there. If Israel says, hey, we need X, and Trump and the United States military want to sell them what they need to fight this battle on their own, we make money and we stay out of it, I'm on board with that. I can get behind that.
All right, thanks, guys.
Wait, Frank. Yes. Frank, I have a question for you. Are you okay with a regime change in Iran if we in Israel are behind it?
No, I don't think we should get involved in regime change at all. You let the people decide what they're going to do. And it's like, I think that would be a horrible thing to get involved with that. We already tried that in Iraq. How did that work out? It's like it never works out when we get involved with that. Let them do their own thing, but at least give them the capability to do their own thing. And right now, they don't have that in Iran right now.
All right. Good call. Like the back and forth. Frank in Burlington. There you go.
Also, Israel confirmed they killed Ali Shadmani, who's the chief of staff of Iran's armed forces in the country's, in Iran's most senior military commander. So we didn't say his name earlier. Nick mentioned it, but just. So there are high-level Iranian, you know, individuals. This is the chief of staff of Iran's military, the military commander, the top commander, who has been taken out.
20 here, Phil. More of Netanyahu on with John Carl. Actually, yeah, this is with John Carl. He says, I understand America first. I don't understand America dead. Roll this.
Tomorrow it's New York. I understand America first. I don't understand America dead. That's what these people want. They chant death to America. So we're doing something that is in the service of mankind, of humanity, and it's a battle of good against evil. America does, should, and does stand with the good. That's what President Trump is doing, and I deeply appreciate his support.
John Carl joins me now. So
there you go.
Okay, so we're talking about protecting an ally and a never-ending war, whether it's bodies, whether it's weapons, whether it's money. Let me ask you this. And again, I'm very much pro-Israel to the point where I've been labeled bought and paid for by the Jews on social media, which is cool. You guys can say whatever you want. So let's look at it this way then. Well, what is the difference here if you are in favor of giving Israel? And I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here. So you're anti-funding Ukraine. And this is where I'm going to compare the two administrations. So when Biden was in office, and hear me out on this, we were like, oh, we got to stop. Enough with the handouts to Zelensky. Well, at what point do we say enough of the handouts to Bibi Netanyahu? Because, again, I'm an American first populist type of guy. I care about what happens here more than anybody else, whether there's allies or enemies. And to me, Israel is a major ally. At what point do we say the same talking points that we talked about the other administration? Well, Zelensky, he needs what he needs because Russia's the bad guy. Well, at what point do we say enough is enough with protecting Israel and stop and start and end this nonsense of, well, it's Iran and it's this and it's that, which it is and it's valid. But I'm just wondering, because it's one thing when we talk about stopping the funding of a never ending war that we're not involved with one administration. Versus, and I'm on this administration side. I'm not on pro-Gaza and from the river to the sea and all that garbage. But, you know, eventually something has to happen here. Either this thing ends, which it won't, because the war on terror and a holy war is never going to end. It's going to go on for generations and generations, long after we're all gone. Or do we just completely eliminate ourselves from the equation and say, you fight it, or you get other allies in the Middle East, or other allies in Asia, or other allies in Europe? Because I've always been of the belief, and this goes back to the Bush days, I never liked the fact that the United States was the world police. And to this day, I still don't like it, regardless if my guy's in office or not. Just food for thought.
Lindsey Graham was on with Hannity last night, and here's a duo for you, saying it seemed to me that he was advocating for regime change. We just asked Frank in Burlington if he was okay with a regime change in Iran. Lindsey Graham seems like he's okay with it. Roll this.
The task at hand. Be all in, President Trump, in helping Israel eliminate the nuclear threat. If we need to provide bombs to Israel, provide bombs. If we need to fly planes with Israel, do joint operations. But here's the bigger question. Wouldn't the world be better off if the Ayatollahs went away and replaced by something better?
Oh,
wouldn't Iran be better off? Tom Cotton is coming on. He made a great observation. The endless war is Iran. Since 1979, they've been attacking the entire region, chanting death to America, death to Israel since their very founding. It's time to close the chapter on the Iranian Ayatollah and his henchmen. Let's close that chapter soon and start a new chapter in the Mideast, one of tolerance, hope, and peace.
But the Trump doctrine seems to be...
So not peace through strength, but peace through war is basically what Lindsey Graham is advocating for. You know, nobody makes me want to get back to Pride Month more than hearing Lindsey Graham talk. Can we get back to people's pronouns and celebrating the next 14 days of June? I feel bad for the LGBT community. Their whole month's been hijacked by a war.
Yeah.
And ICE riots.
Chris Sununu was on CNN talking about how... you know, we talked about the Tucker Carlson and Steve Bannon faction that kind of started this entire thing with that podcast yesterday where Tucker went off about this. And Chris Sununu says that they define what the MAGA or conservative base is. They're just idiot conspiracy theorists, according to Chris Sununu. Roll it.
This is all, I mean, we were just talking about peace, right? Like Trump. It feels like he's a little bit at war with himself, because he said all the time, I mean, he wants to be known as the peacemaker, the deal maker, the guy who ends wars. And yet here he finds himself defending another war.
Well, I don't know. I don't think Trump's defending the war. Trump's defending Israel's actions, and within a week or two, he's going to try to find an off-ramp to bring it to peace. And as for Tucker Carlson and Steve Bannon, they aren't. They do not define what the MAGA or the conservative base is. There's two idiot conspiracy theorists. The base, the MAGA base, the conservative base, believe me, they're all behind Trump. And that's it. He's the one that calls the shots on what kind of defines the, you know, that MAGA base. And he's not trying to get us into a war. He's trying to get us out of that war. And yes, and he understands the political ramifications if it goes too long, if it doesn't work out. So that's why I think he's back in D.C. doing everything they can to kind of cut a deal to end this within a couple of weeks.
I think the tough spot for Trump, it, you know, forget whether, you know, peace through strength and all that stuff, and he's anti-war, he ends wars, he doesn't start wars when he's in the Oval Office, is this is part of the inherited mess that he is, you know, walked into. You know, this, you know, we talk about all of these different conflicts and all this stuff that's a total disaster. You know, in a lot of ways, and I know it's not necessarily in Iran, but, you know, this whole thing got reignited on October 7th, 2023, right? Like, this is, you know, and that's the common theme here, whether it's Iran, whether it's Hamas, Hezbollah, they all have the same mission statement. If they all had a corporate headquarters, their mission statement would be kill the Jews and death to America. So you can repackage them and rebrand them any which way you want. And, you know, like, I don't necessarily agree with everything Steve Bannon or Tucker Carlson say. I mean, I made that clear on the Tucker Carlson front in the Big Take. But there are a lot of people that agree with Bannon and Tucker Carlson. And I mean, you say what you want about Steve Bannon. The guy went to jail for Trump. So, you know, that might be worth pointing out. And I'm not necessarily the biggest Chris Sununu fan either. Actually, I'm not really sure who I'm a fan of these days.
Nick
Hale. I don't really like anybody anymore.
Dawn Stensland and Greg Stock. Sometimes.
Yeah, I guess.
Pete Hegseth was on Jesse Waters, and he responds to the escalation, saying that the United States is getting into a defensive position.
No, we're not.
So you're going to be in the Situation Room pretty soon with the president. Is he still aiming for a nuclear deal with the Iranians? Of course. The president's, as he said today, his position has not changed. What you're watching in real time is peace through strength and America first. Our job is to be strong. We are postured defensively in the region to be strong in pursuit of a peace deal. And we certainly hope that's what happens here. And America first means we're going to defend American personnel and American interests. So when you see jets and you see air defense assets and counter UAS assets, that's because my job as the Secretary of Defense is to ensure that our people are safe and that we're strong so that we can set the conditions for a deal. And President Trump's made it clear it's on the table. The question is whether Iran will take it.
All right. So the deal is still on the table, but all options are on the table. From what it sounds like, what does that look like?
What it looks like right now is we're vigilant, we're prepared, and we've messaged from consistently from the beginning that we're in the region to defend our people and our assets. And Israel took an action out of self-defense. We believe that Iran, as President has said from the beginning, should not have a nuclear weapon. That position hasn't changed. They can give it up peacefully. That position hasn't changed. And as a result, right now, we've got assets in the region, and we're going to defend them, and we're going to be strong in the process. So people are reading into a lot of aspects right now. We're strong, we're prepared, we're defensive, and President Trump hopes there can be peace.
So four things here. One, phenomenal suit out of Hegseth. Baby blue, always a good look. Secondly, he is correct. Stocker is correct when he says that Trump has not changed his position for a decade on this matter. Where I disagree with Hegseth is you can't say you are maintaining or entering a defensive posture or whatever the terminology it was that he used and then have your hand and your fingerprints on missile attacks. Like if I say I'm going to put up my fists, I'm in a defensive posture right now. Well, I am no longer in a defensive posture when I throw a fist and I throw a haymaker or an uppercut. So that doesn't fly with me. And then lastly, as far as the, you know, America first agenda. Well, I'm sure Trump has, you know, calculated this and other people have as well, that when you get involved with anything like Dawn's talking about with that massive piece of weaponry that can obliterate
penetrative.
Yes. There's going to be retaliation in this country. So that's the calculus you have to balance out.
But I think I would say that the whole saying we think about of Afghanistan, why, you know, our military talks about this all the time, that the reason they do these things over there is so that they're not over here. And so you wipe their capabilities out and you knock them at their knees now. So, take them to their knees.
So you're saying fight them over there so they don't fight, so we don't have to fight them over here?
Sure, that's the philosophy.
They're already here. They came through the last 4 years through our southern border.
Okay. So the Bush administration said that.
No, this is Biden's fault, as far as I'm concerned. When I talk about retaliation against America, I'm not worried about Iran launching anything from where they are geographically to attack us. I'm worried about the nut jobs that are already in the continental United States.
Yeah.
I hope I'm making myself clear on that.
You
because
are.
They are plotting.
Yep.
And I'm sure that the FBI hears the chatter and, you know, they're tracking down things, blah, blah, blah. By the way, there was also a story that was just on Fox News that they arrested a guy who was
Coast Guard
plotting. Yeah, the Coast Guard. I don't want to steal one of Dawn's big three stories.
No, remember that was the one I didn't get to because we just went so long in the morning. But
if you want to mention that now, by all means, go ahead.
Yes, so that was the one, if I pull up my news script, so that was the one where they did an arrest, and that was, I think we learned that, last night, as far as the Coast Guard? And so they're constantly with intelligence, our intelligence community has to now look for all of these, but this was a Coast Guard individual. I'm trying to pull it up. I had the whole story because I was about to do it. But in this one, they did make the arrest and maybe averted what could have been a disaster. So Stinson allegedly made these threats. So he was a former Coast Guard lieutenant arrested for allegedly making the threats to kill President Trump. And these are the court documents that have been released. He's a Virginia resident. Mm-hmm. Peter Stinson.
Former sharpshooter.
Served as an officer in the U.S. Coast Guard from 1988 all the way till 2021, sharpshooter as well as a FEMA instructor during those years, 1988 to 2021. And so the task force officer from the Federal Bureau of Investigation talked about the details of the online threats that Stinson is accused of making. So he wrote that Trump, and this is a quote, that he need to be, that one of the quotes is really sick. I'm trying to pull this one up.
He needed to be Luigi'd.
Luigi'd, and said that Stinson also allegedly referenced, quote, not having the necessary skills to successfully complete an assassination, but also suggested he was not being entirely truthful. So making graphic threats against President Trump.
Yeah, and for those who don't realize what the reference is, it's a reference to Luigi Mangione, who, of course, is accused of killing Brian Thompson.
By the way, 19, Phil. President Joe Biden, former President Joe Biden, and Hunter were at Park Restaurant, you know, down in Center City yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
In Philly, yeah.
It's yeah, crazy. Joe going out for an ice cream cone? Nice.
We have video of them arriving to park with their entourage. Roll this, Phil.
Oh, wow. Hi.
There's Jill.
Yep.
Walking in. She shakes somebody's hand as cold as ever. And then Joe.
There's the big guy.
Not realizing where he is, who he's talking to. Hey, who are you?
It's an honor, sir.
Said I was going to be in Scranton.
Double handshake.
Yep. Just Jill goes right in, doesn't shake
hands. Jill's already got a cocktail.
Oh, hang on. There we go.
Holy crap, as Stocker would say. How about that? Yeah.
And then Hunter, I guess, walked in.
Oh, was Hunter there too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess the painting business dried up. He wasn't working on any new Picassos.
Joe in Philly. Joe and the clan in Philly.
So. Now, where was the spot?
Park.
Park.
Have you never heard of Park?
No.
He needs to get out more.
It's just unbelievable.
Trust me, I'm not coming to Center City if I don't have to.
it's Rittenhouse Square. I mean, it's a lovely part of the city.
I'll stay in my collar county. I'm not coming into this godforsaken city unless I'm paid.
You brought this up earlier. You brought this up earlier, Nick Cale. The feds are now saying that there's no manifesto in the Minnesota shooter.
No, it was miscommunication, folks.
How does that happen?
I have no idea.
So can I ask you guys a question? Because we heard there was a list with 70 names on it. Is that not true? Was that part of the manifesto, or is that – do we know if that's true or not?
Well, it's interesting how they're wording it now. They're calling it a notebook.
Notebook.
It's a notebook, right? It's like that movie, The Notebook.
Just not like it at all.
By the way, guys out there, if you're single and if you end up with a girl and she asks you to watch The Notebook, just do it. You can avoid a lot of issues if you just watch it.
Great book.
Is it?
It came from initially.
Can you identify the potential motive here? It has been widely reported that this hit list, contained names of people who are abortion rights supporters. And also, can you please release the names of the two other targeted victims who were fortunately to get away?
As I said, with respect to the other two potential victims, I think it's up to them whether they want to publicly identify themselves. As I said, it wouldn't surprise me if they do. They're elected officials. But that's their right. Obviously, they may have families and children and privacy interests that they need to sort through. So I'll let them do that. With respect to the potential motive, let me say this. There's been a lot of press and speculation and discussion of a manifesto. I've seen nothing like a Unabomber-style manifesto in his writings. He had many, many notebooks full of plans, lists of names, surveillance, efforts that he took to surveil and locate the home addresses and family members' relationships with these elected officials. But I have not seen anything involving some sort of political screed or manifesto that would clearly identify what motivated him. Obviously, his primary motive was to go out and murder people. Now, they were all elected officials. They were all Democrats. Beyond that, I think it's just way too speculative for anyone who has reviewed these materials to know and to say what was motivating him in terms of ideology or specific issues. There's a lot of...
For abortion rights supporters?
There were some abortion rights supporters, I believe, on the list. But again, there was dozens and dozens and dozens of names on, you know, hundreds of pages of documents that were recovered with his writings on them.
Did he confess and give more details after he was apprehended last night?
I'm not going to comment on that at this time.
The New York Post actually released one of the notebook pages, and it's in his, allegedly in his handwriting. And it says truepeoplesearch.com, truthfinder.com. He wrote down whitepages.com, 3 days free, name, phone number, address. So a lot of the ways in which allegedly, and I'm assuming here, he used these search engines or websites to track down the address of not only the people he shot, not only the people he killed, but whoever else was on the hit list, which I want to bring this up, and I've thought about this for a long time. I don't like, and I don't know if people agree with this or not, just going to throw it out there. I don't like the fact that you can find people's address online so easily.
Oh, it is.
I know.
Such
it's ridiculous.
Isn't that infuriating?
Yesterday, the New York Times wrote a story about political violence and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they really did a good job, I believe, of really connecting the dots as far as how easily it is to find politicians' address.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Addresses. And you're right. Because of the internet, you can find the address of anybody. It's really frightening. So
I guess,
nut job can just Google you, and you know what I mean?
I guess some of it is our fault. We just willingly give away our information, and
we
then
do.
Third parties take them, and we get spammed. But you know what? The fact that you can – and it's not just politicians. You could look up any person, right?
We did this to ourselves. You're 100%
right.
Because whenever, you know, they ask you for – you type in something. You put your name, your address, your zip code, all of that.
Yep, email address.
On every website that you sign up for.
Yep.
And people just do it, and they're like, okay. You know what I mean? So
I feel like it started with just basic grocery store bonus cards. Hey, you want to put your phone number in for $10 off, and you go to pick up a prescription at CVS, enter your phone number, your email address, and then, of course, they sell it, people buy it, it gets re-aggregated online.
Yep.
Next thing you know, we have all this doxing and swatting. Sounds like a great time to utilize the Second Amendment, folks, for safety.
17 here. This is another clip from the acting U.S. Attorney Thompson detailing that Bolter went to the homes of two other elected officials after shooting Hoffman, but before going to Hortman's house. So there was actually four different houses that he went to,
yeah.
But two of them, they weren't.
One guy was on vacation.
Yeah. I mean, good God.
Can you imagine?
Let's roll this.
After shooting Senator Hoffman and his wife, Belter traveled to the home of another Minnesota state representative in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Video surveillance showed that Belter rang the doorbell at the state representative's house at approximately 2:24 a.m. on Friday night. Again, he was dressed as a law enforcement officer, wearing a tactical vest and body armor, carrying a handgun and a flashlight, and wearing that same hyper-realistic silicon mask. Again, the images, as you can see on the screen, are haunting. Now, fortunately, the state representative was not home. She and her family were gone on vacation, and so Belter left. Belter then traveled to the home of a Minnesota state senator who lived in New Hope, Minnesota. He parked in the street in that same black SUV with the police license plate. At about 2:36 a.m. on Friday night, after learning of the shooting of Senator Hoffman, New Hope police dispatched an officer to conduct a wellness check on the state senator who lived in New Hope. When the New Hope officer arrived at the scene, she saw Belter's black SUV parked down the block with the lights on. The New Hope police officer believed that Belter was a police officer who had been dispatched to the scene to check on the status of the state senator. The New Hope police officer pulled up next to Belter in his car, rolled down her window, and attempted to speak with him. Belter did not respond. According to the officer, he just sat there and stared straight ahead. So the New Hope police officer, who had been dispatched to the scene, proceeded to the state senator's home, and she waited for other law enforcement to arrive.
Can I ask a question? So he was being chased by police officers, correct?
Before he was on the run for
before he went in and killed the state representative and her husband, right? And then so what were the police doing while he was in? Well, he rang the doorbell and got in. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe they didn't know his exact location.
I think at some point. And I don't, that's why I wonder with the wife, when was she stopped? Because at some point they knew who was on his target or hit list. And they went to one of these homes where he was there. So they were doing well checks on people they knew who were on the list.
Okay.
So now they go there and lo and behold, he's there.
Yeah.
But they're too late.
Phil, if you can, just go back to about the 50 or 52-second mark. Just rewind it or fast-forward it, whatever you got to do, and throw that back up in the box. That really, what that officer says, look how chilling that is. I mean, that guy with that silicone mask on right there.
That is eerie.
That is so eerie. That looks like something you would see in a, you know, obviously a Hollywood movie. But just one quick last point, because I don't like to do the fear-mongering stuff. That's not my my brand, so to speak. You know, we're talking a lot about this, you know, all these political violent acts on whatever side of the ledger you're on. I mean, this stuff, I mean, yes, Shapiro and the governor's mansion, but it is still very, very rare that this stuff occurs. And oh, by the way, just to kind of illustrate, like from a math perspective, we talked about the No Kings protests. That organization that funded it, Dawn, I forget you mentioned the name of it yesterday. Their goal, point being, was to have 3.5% of the U.S. population take part in the No Kings protests. And Greg showed you all the big cities and the crowds, 100,000 here, 120, 80,000 there. You know, according to their own website, they only reached 1.5% of the 3.5% that they were searching for and seeking. So I know we see all this stuff and it's in our algorithms on social media, but 98.5% of America didn't show up at the No Kings protest. Kind of just goes to show you, like, at the end of the day, most people still go about living their life.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Seriously.
Yeah, I just saw that math. Oh, the No Kings protest. Yeah. Now I'll put my partisan hat back on. No Kings protest was a major success. Well, actually, they were searching for 3.5%, only got 1.5%, so it was not a success.
Yeah. Speaking of law enforcement, California lawmakers are moving to ban law. Banning law enforcement from covering their face, saying it undermines community safety for law enforcement to cover their face in California. This is cut four, Phil. Four. Four.
California.
Four.
Yeah, if I can just elaborate, you know, people covering their faces, impersonating police officers, it erodes trust in law enforcement and it undermines community safety. That's really what this bill is about. And I think many law enforcement officials, legitimate law enforcement officials, would welcome, you know, putting in safeguards to ensure transparency and accountability. And I think the concern is a lot that's happening. There are a lot of people who are engaged in these enforcement actions, and we don't know. Are they federal? Are they contractors? Are they local law enforcement? And so requiring that people not have to wear masks except for some very limited exceptions, and that there be identifying information ensures that we know who is involved here. It's also critical to uphold our state and local laws, including our sanctuary law, SB 54, which says that local law enforcement are not going to be involved in immigration enforcement. So this is, I think, furthering the state's efforts to ensure legitimate law enforcement purposes and to protect Californians.
Is there any way we can sell California to Iran, like in a straight up one for one trade? I don't even want anything back. We'll just give you California. Let the Ayatollahs take them and do what they want with them. The party of masks for COVID, the party of masks for protests, then wants to say no masks for law enforcement, completely undermining and just moving past the reason why law enforcement has had to resort to wearing masks is because their family is being doxxed and swatted by people that can find their address online, all because they're doing their job and upholding the law.
Yep.
Who was that schlub? That was like Pritzker Light. it was like Jiggly Belly Jr. Who is that schlub? California. Jesse Araguin. Oh, he's from San Francisco. Shocking.
Oh, man. I want to call on law enforcement when we get back, because there was an incident. The body cam footage was just released from an April 30th incident that happened in, speaking of California, Manteca, California, at an In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
So a gentleman rammed it in his car. The cops were trying to get him to come out. The gentleman rammed the police car. The police shot and killed him.
Yep.
Now, I want to warn you, we'll play this when we get back. I want to warn you that it's not, you know, this is not safe viewing for everybody. So if you don't want to see something like this, I would, you know, turn on the Odyssey app so you can just hear it, or 1210 WPHT. But I want to get law enforcement's take on this when we come back. Plus, a dumb tourist sat in a piece of art chair by Van Gogh and broke it.
I guess you could say the next two clips will feature
excellent penetrator
and Fight Club coming up.
Fight Club.
By the way, Fight Club today was submitted by Gigi Gadget. Gigi Gadget on YouTube or Twitter, excuse me, submitted today's Fight Club. It takes place in a bar around a pool table. That's my tease.
Oh, beautiful.
Dawn, talk to us about Kitchen Magic.
Got to have the magic. KitchenMagic.com. At Kitchen Magic, they have been transforming kitchens since 1979. Proudly American made. That's right. Made in the USA. Family owned and 100% tariff proof. That means no international delays, no surprise fees. This month only, the month of June, take advantage of Kitchen Magic's 24-month same as cash financing. It's time to love your kitchen again. Visit them. KitchenMagic.com. You can call them 1-800-237-0799. That's 800-237-0799. Kitchen Magic, quality that's closer to home. Make sure you tell them at KitchenMagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, 25 minutes out from a Tuesday edition a Fight Club.
Uh-oh.
As the cut sheet rolls on.
Dawn, are you excited for today's edition of Fight Club?
I am so excited.
Good. It happens at a bar in front of a pool table. pool cues might be used, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saying that, just warning you.
Uh-oh.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT, where we can all respectfully disagree, because life is like that. And I don't know why people love to just, you know, tune in and like, let me just clap like a seal and everybody agrees, everybody's in agreement. Thank you. Talk radio used to be about that. It used to be about discussion and not everybody being in lockstep. But too many hosts are too afraid of going against their audience. So they either shy away from topics or they weave themselves into pretzels trying to explain things.
My new motto on this show, at least verbally, obviously not physically, but verbally, here's my new stance.
We will kill you, graveyard day.
All right, let's. I need my law enforcement folks out here to tell me about this. And by the way, if you're squeamish, you don't want to see this. I would turn off YouTube. Listen to us on the Odyssey app. This body cam footage was just released. It was a man that was shot dead by police after ramming the police car in an In-N-Out in Manteca, California. On April 30th, Manteca police officers were dispatched to the In-N-Out Burger on Yosemite Avenue in response to a disturbance. According to the call, a white van intentionally collided with another vehicle in the drive-thru and was attempting to push it out of the line using force. So he's in the drive-thru. We've all been here.
Wearing a 4X George Kittle jersey, by the way. He looks like the guy that you would see at an In-N-Out.
With American flag headrests.
Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube. Well, actually, you can't see it. Only we can see it. According to the call, a white van intentionally collided with another vehicle in the drive-thru and was attempting. By the way, you know that's a George Kittle jersey, but you don't know Park.
By the way, let's slide this. Can we slide this? We don't need to see Greg's head right now as he's introducing this. Let's just no. Don't play it. Don't play it. Just I just want to rewind it just to the beginning so people get the visual here.
You don't need to see Greg's head.
There we go. And what's he got? Was that a pencil in his mouth? A cigar?
It's I'm not sure what it is.
Pretzel stick.
So he's in the drive-thru and people are taking a long time. So he's ramming cars to get it. He needs his burger.
I'm every Saturday at Starbucks.
Look at the size of him. Of course he needs his burger.
Of course.
The white van intentionally collided with another vehicle in the drive-thru and was attempting to push it out of line using force. The vehicle was being driven by 69-year-old Charles McGonigal. Upon arrival, the first officer was immediately rammed by McGonigal in the white van. Okay, so pick it up with that. So he's ramming cars in the drive-thru. He gets out of line or whatever. The cops are kind of surrounding him.
Yep.
And that's where we pick it up here. Roll this.
Azzy. Yeah. What's he reaching for?
It's a cigarette, it looks like, or a big cigar.
Is he reaching for anything?
By the way, I love body cam footage.
So do I.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Can you answer a couple questions for me? Huh? No, don't back up.
So the guy's in the white van. You can see that there. Mm-hmm. The cop's trying to get him out, right?
There's at least three or four police vehicles.
Yep.
SUVs.
They're out in the loudspeaker trying to.
We want everybody to be safe.
And his vehicle's already damaged.
Yeah.
All right, he's backing up now.
Yep.
And they're saying we got to get this guy pinned in.
Yep.
His hood, his front bumper just fell off.
Yeah, because he's been ramming cars, right?
Yep. I'm gonna pin him in if he comes.
Deep penetration.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes.
So he rams the car.
Look at that brave officer.
The cop gets out.
Can we freeze it? Freeze it. Now, so this guy is ramming. All right. So now, out of the blue, on the right hand of your screen, come officers on foot. Firearms have been pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now let's roll.
Can you back it up like 10 seconds? Yeah. Yeah, so you see him ramming because I want to say.
Yep.
By the way, for all the squeamish out there, you're going to see him.
You see a lot of ketchup.
Yeah. Well, you don't see blood, but you see them empty around into the car. All right, roll it.
If he comes.
Hold up.
So he rams the car like this, and then the cop gets out, and he backs up, and he rams it again, and that's when the cops shoot, and they take him out. I mean, they emptied a clip.
Yep.
They emptied a clip into him.
I'm stunned they did that in California, of all places.
So my question for you guys is, and I guess law enforcement would be better suited for this, emptying a clip in the car?
He was given multiple opportunities. Vehicles are deadly weapons. You can kill somebody by hitting you. I mean, it should be obvious, in my opinion.
Dawn?
It's in California?
Yeah.
If I'm a cop, I'm thinking about what happened to Officer Mark Dial here in Philadelphia with a traffic stop and an individual.
Yep.
Even though the person had what appeared to be a weapon, turned out to be a knife, thought it was a gun, split-second decision.
Yep.
I'm not going to open fire. I'm going to stand back. I mean, seriously, why would they risk their entire career?
So you're saying that if you're the officer, you're not emptying your clip.
Well, is he? I don't know if he is. He following orders?
He rammed the car. In my opinion, that car is a deadly weapon.
Yep.
I agree with you.
It can kill somebody, so they're absolutely justified in emptying in shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely justified in doing it.
Well, he'll be fine. I mean, that officer's going to be fine because the guy he shot was white. if you think that doesn't matter, it does.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear anymore. Oh, they never do that to a white guy. They just splatter that guy's head all over the windshield.
Yeah.
Gone.
We will kill you, graveyard dead.
I would love to hear from law enforcement.
Sure.
Because I'm curious. Because Dawn brings up a valid point. In this day and age of everybody, you know, against police officers, you know, trying to get, you know, is that the method that they would have used?
I think venue does matter, sadly. Now, where in California was that? Do we know?
So I'm guessing it's Manteca. Manteca, Manteca, okay. California. I'm sure because of his, like you pointed out, his jersey, I'm sure it's like Northern California, up near San Francisco.
Could be.
But I don't know. I wanted to get your takes on this.
No. Now, let me ask you this. And not that I'm saying I would agree with the amount, but do you need to shoot him as many times as you did? Would one or two shots be enough?
I don't know. What's
I'm just
the
asking for the sake of conversation.
Mm-hmm. It depends on the training.
I mean, they rocked his world.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing at a text.
What? Yeah. What text?
Nothing.
Probably in reference to something I said. Whatever.
He snorted.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. I needed that. Yeah, so if you're in law enforcement, 855-839-1210, I would love to hear.
Tom in Percocet, Chris, CJ in Havertown, Mike in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Where's our cops at? Let's go.
This ICE and the U.S. ICE and the U.S. Marines raided a Father's Day concert in Santa Fe Springs, California. I'm sticking with the theme of California here.
Yeah, that's where crazy emanates from. Why not?
I was going to say if this was your dance recital that you were out on Father's Day.
Ah, jeez, don't get me started.
Roll this.
Happening all across our area. New video appears to show an immigration operation happened in Santa Fe Springs yesterday. It happened at the Santa Fe Springs swap meet, a large retail and concert space.
Well, I saw that they just ran in there like if it was somebody, like animals, just like if we're animals. They run in there and they just run in there like if they're going to go get animals out of a cage or something, you know, like scared.
People just, you know, walking out really fast with their kids. The kids were like, in their faces, you could see the fear in their faces and the tears. Like, it was just crazy.
Now, people were at the swap meet that were there. They say they were there for a Father's Day concert.
Oh, could you imagine that? Imagine yours truly being mic'd up with a camera, sitting there falling asleep in between my daughters dancing. When my daughters dance, I'm ready to go. I'm up there fist pumping. Like I'm like a crazy dance mom. But in between, I just couldn't care less about the rest of these children, with all due respect to these kids. But how great would it be if ICE, now I was at the Upper Marion Middle School on Sunday on Father's Day. So think about the pain I'm going through.
you were praying for an ICE raid.
I was hoping that ICE would come through and liven up the thing. Just get me to get excited about something.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, God.
All right, Fight Club coming up at 9:10. We have that, so make sure you get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, to see the video. If not, Nick does a good job. Nick's a good color commentator. He's a good job describing it. So for you listening on 1210WPHD, you know, you can't get if, like, Greg, my buddy in Exile in Jersey, he hates YouTube. He hates YouTube because he listens to the radio, you know, because he's at a construction site. We're listening on the radio, and he's like, why do you give all this love to YouTube? Sorry. We still love the radio audience. That's where 90% of our audience is. So we appreciate you. We appreciate all of you.
Kale and Company, final hour, next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Got to talk about my friends from Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. You know that I've used them for many years on my home. I want to tell you about the Chapman difference, and there really is a Chapman difference. Core values centered around high quality workmanship, outstanding service, exceptional products, and a team that always empowers you rather than just tries to sell you something. So they have tremendous reviews, hundreds of those reviews online, local business awards, hundreds of great Google reviews. But I would say to you, even though they get a 4.9 star rating, I'll be honest, I'm not going to hire anybody and entrust them in my home just because they have a good, I don't care if it's a 5 Google review, whatever. I want to know somebody. I want to know somebody who can tell me, yes, this team of people has come into my home for years, as Chapman has, and replaced windows and doors, and there is a Chapman difference. That's what makes the difference for me personally, and I want to share that with you. So I cannot even express to you what a pleasure it is to work with the Chapman family team. They listen, and everybody, you know, you have your unique needs. You know what you want. That's paramount. You know the look, the personality of your home and what you're going for here, the style. They're going to work with you on all of that and make sure that it fits within your budget. Everything they do is meticulous, beginning with everything in writing. Okay. It's upfront. It's in writing. And they go through it with you and make sure this is exactly what you want. And yes, it fits within your budget. All of this is important. Chapman, they do have financing options available right now to help make your exterior remodeling project a reality. You can call, you can text. They're listing right now. They're like-minded. 610-431-8898. 610-431-8898. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Go ahead. Dream a little bit. With a little bit of help from my friends at Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.